97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Oh my gosh, what a beautiful day. I mean, it is picture perfect out there. I call them like the 10% days. Dave Murray sort of refers to them similarly. There's really probably only 10% of the days in the entire year that are this beautiful.
Oh, gorgeous.
A little warmer this afternoon, I suppose. I've been in here for a couple hours. I'm going to the baseball game tonight. I'm very excited because I think it's perfect baseball weather for sure. Cardinals did not fare as well last night. Fred, you didn't go last night, did you?
No, I didn't.
Unfortunately,
I
did too. I watched the whole game. I just kept holding on to hope at the end. And, you know, there was hope because the gap wasn't that big. But they lost the opener against the Rangers. I had kind of forgotten, Frank mentioned this yesterday, that Skip Schumacher was the manager of Texas. So it was kind of good to see him. I didn't like see him high-fiving his players after the game. I'd rather see Ollie do that.
Did you see him sent a t-shirt, a Rangers t-shirt?
Skip did? Took tarps off?
No. Oh. To Ollie.
Oh,
to
this
Ollie?
Was hilarious.
Oh, so no, I don't know this story. Okay.
Ollie shows up to the ballpark, and there is a t-shirt on his desk in his office that is just a bunch of different pictures of Skip Schumacher.
Oh,
and
my
it just
gosh.
Says Skip Schumacher. So apparently Skip said that every time that they come to St. Louis
right.
or the Cardinals come to Texas, Ollie and Skip, being the good friends they are, they do like some sort of joke. They give each other something.
Yeah.
And Ollie wears the shirt. Skip's like, I didn't think he was going to wear it. He wore it during all of pregame, like
oh,
on the
no!
field for batting practice. So it was like, it was a big thing.
I did
thing
not
in the
know
yesterday.
That that is
pretty funny.
I love stuff like that, though. That's cool. We love Skip. We don't like him beating the Cardinals right now, but that's
seen a bunch of
awesome.
Rally Squirrel videos these last couple days.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Because that was him who was at the plate when the Rally Squirrel ran by.
Was it
in
really?
2011, yep.
Well, there's a good trivia question for you. Yeah, so we'll have some visitors here in about an hour and a half because Lex is coming down. Our neighbors, our friend Amanda, who hangs with Alexa a lot, she's of driving age but doesn't really feel safe driving downtown, understandably. So Mom is going to drop them off at 4:30. They're going to the game with me and my friend Ken Dubinsky tonight. Becky's out of town, so we're going to have a great time, and I'm looking forward to seeing some baseball in person. You know, it's crazy, and I think I told you this, that because of the health issues last year and because the Cardinals weren't that good, I only went to one baseball game the entire year.
Yeah, that's
year.
Weird
I
for
went
you.
With Scott Jennings and Joe Arnold in May of last year. I think it was maybe even that Memorial Day weekend. It was that game that Arenado had that amazing catch, and then they made the gold seat after he did that. But now I've been to one game already, so this would be my second game, and I'm very much looking forward to getting back into the swing of things with Busch Stadium. Got a bunch of audio that I want to play here, but let me just tell you something that just happened. I don't know if this happens to you guys. So about 20 minutes ago, I get a text message that says, hey, I have your home. Thank you for requesting a home quote with Allstate. I have it ready for you, blah, blah. I'm like, I didn't request anything with Allstate. So then I deleted that right away, right? And then I get a message that said, you have, been chosen. I don't even know what the words were because I deleted it, but it was saying, if you want to get these messages, you can say yes. If you want to opt out, press stop, right? Mm. So I, all caps, I type in stop. The first thing that happens is I get two more of these things.
Yeah, now you've told them that you're alive.
Okay,
so
is that what happened?
Yeah, so you just delete
those.
Oh,
my God. So two more came in. Ugh. It said, here, hi, Mary. That's not me. The auto insurance rates
you sure?
for your 2013. Well, maybe not. I mean, I could. That would be my natural transition name. My dead name would be Mark, but all I'd have to do is change the K.
Right, exactly.
I like that. So I'm going to keep that in the back of my noggin for future use because you never know when you want to be a woman.
Know.
I could want to be a woman at any time. The auto insurance rates for your 2013 Mazda CX-5 are ready at quote, Quest. View the rates here. To stop, opt out. Now I don't even want to press stop, right?
No, just
okay, here's another
just
one.
Just block it.
Right.
Delete and
okay,
block.
Here's another one here. Yeah, these are all local numbers, by the way. Okay, this is a 314
number.
That's
how they get you.
Ensuring your home is crucial, Mary. Liberty Mutual is here.
Oh, wait, you're Mary again?
Quote. Yeah. When could we talk? If not interested, let me know. Yeah, I'm not interested. Now, Mary is my is my ex-wife's name, so I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but that's weird, isn't it?
I did get a text from Mike the other day, and it had to do with property. Like, so if your name is on the tax record,
yeah.
And I thought, what? So I just, no.
Okay, so this also happened. I don't know if you guys got this. And I bring this up. We have George Rosenthal from Throttle and Tech Talk Tuesday. I always think that this stuff is helpful for the listeners because I can get fooled too. I had an email that came in that said that I had to, you know, complete my Odyssey training on something. Wow. Now, two things about that. Whenever I get an email from the company that says I have to do training, I ignore it every time. I just delete it. I've gotten one email, I think, for 4 years about some training that I'm supposed to do.
We're missing the same test.
Yeah. Well, okay. I just delete. I don't even know what test that is that I'm not taking. But all I know is that it usually comes to the point where I get a threatening email from one of the bosses. Hey, you got to do this. And then I finally do it. But on this one, I just keep deleting, deleting, deleting. But I had one that came in this morning, and it didn't look like the same type of Odyssey email, and I think it was a phishing thing.
I've been caught on our own fake Odyssey phishing that Odyssey put out.
Right.
Just to say, hey, don't click on these. I mean, and it
had a weird address, and I didn't. But see, now I got a great excuse because if they come back to me and they say, how come you're not doing your mandatory Odyssey training? I'm like, I don't trust that stuff. I don't want to cost the company one click, and I could cost the company millions. Why would I want to do that, Sue?
Right, you wouldn't.
Exactly. Thank you very much for reaffirming my inability and unwillingness to do the corporate email stuff that comes in on a regular basis. Fred, you're just kind of laughing about this. Do you have a story here?
I just came in here, I just got a text from my pharmacist saying, we've got some questions about your new prescription. Please get back in touch with us. It's like, oh, yeah, so like when
Exactly.
Pharmacists give you a ring.
Right. Okay, here's another one, though. And this one is very, very common. And I had to check this morning with our friend Shannon Robinson, all right, who is a guest occasionally. This is the Twitter hack. And I don't know how it works, but you'll get a message. And this has happened 4 times, all right? And I've had to alert people each time they've known already. But you get a message in your Twitter messages that says, hey, hope you're doing well. It's always the same phrasing
and
every time.
It
says,
too.
Can I ask you for something real quick if you don't mind?
Wow.
No, I do mind. First of all, that's not the way that someone like Shannon would approach me. First of all, she would text me, right?
Yes.
And any of the other messages that I've gotten from people, same thing. But what she said to me is, because I text her, she goes, yeah, hack, I'm trying to get, you know, back in. She said they took her email and her password and that they were posting things on her site that were embarrassing, but she didn't have any control of it because, you know,
that
it got hacked.
Scary.
It is scary.
Yes.
And that's why you want to make sure you're on top of, you know, changing the passwords and all that stuff on a regular basis. So I thought that was interesting. But these things are look, the one from Odyssey this morning, I almost clicked on that because I thought, that's I finally got to do this. And I didn't click on it. So I think that's the wise
it's always the best
move for sure. I have something that I want to do a little bit later. I think that will stun you a little bit musically, and that's going to come up after 4 o'clock. We have George here with, you know, Tech Talk Tuesdays. Fred, I haven't even looked at his list. His list is usually really long, though, right?
It's so long. He emailed it to me rather than texted.
Yeah, so I, you know, that's always fun to look at.
But they're great topics.
No, I've read them. Wow.
Josh Krausauer is coming up from the Jewish Insider. He's 97.1 FM Talk political insider. You might hear him on Brian's show in the morning as well. He's a Fox Radio analyst. But look, we have the jungle primary in California. You have Graham Plattner, this disgusting candidate in Maine, meeting with Democrat leaders in Washington. President Trump apparently scolded Bibi over bombing Lebanon, so we got some news there. And then, you know, we haven't talked to Josh in a little while. We'll check in with some of the polling in Texas and the rest of the races. Chris Klemm will be here at 3:30. He's really good on the border stuff. We love Chris. We got to know him several years ago, former Yuma Sector Border Patrol chief. He actually went to work for the administration for a little while on a special project in the first year. So Chris will be here. We'll have I got my music thing coming up at 4 o'clock. And there's a couple of things related to that. And here's something that I'm going to do this afternoon that's, you know, somewhat rare. It's become a rarity. When I first started doing talk radio 30-something years ago, we would take phone calls all the time. I've kind of gotten away from that just a little bit because of text messaging and people weigh in on the YouTube feed. By the way, when Alexa was here the other day, she was reading the comments on YouTube feed. They were like, oh, Alexa, you're so cute and all this stuff. So she got a kick out of that. But we're going to take calls on, I had the governor on yesterday, we're going to take calls on the income tax repeal or, you know, phase out. You're going to vote on that in August in our primary, which is makes a lot more sense than, you know, June 2nd. I still think that's weird. Although August, people are still on vacations and stuff like
true,
that.
True, true.
But, you know, there's a fair amount of pushback that the governor, that I'm getting, that some other folks are getting when it comes to this income tax deal. So I want to, you know, kind of see where the audience is. I want to see where the conservative audience is, because what I'm told is that when they're doing some of these groups, people older than 60 in particular, they don't like it. They don't like what they're hearing. I don't know if they haven't been educated enough. I don't know if the marketing is off, but we'll take some calls on that in the 4 o'clock hour at 4:30. We sometimes call that Telephone Tuesday. There's more Barry Weiss and Scott Pelley details that have come out today. Scott Pelley threw a fit last week. Barry wasn't there, but, you know, the arrogance of a guy like Scott Pelley, and I actually drafted an email on it, has not been kicked back to me yet, so I think it got to the correct box. But I sent an email this morning to Bill Whitaker, one of the CBS News correspondents, and I was trying to help Bill understand why the rest of the country thinks that 60 Minutes is biased.
Yeah.
And I'll explain this a little bit more when Curtis is on, but
I'm glad you did this, yeah, Mark.
Well, and I was very nice to Bill. Yeah. I'm like, if you'd like to come back into town and, you know, correct your journalistic malpractice, we would love to have you. So I'll read my text message or my email to Bill. I'm just hoping it got through, and I think it did, because, you know, ooh, those things will kind of kick back to you every once in a while. And then let me here, Fred and Sue, you need to kind of take your headphones off or just go out of the room for just 1 second, because
really?
Well, not really, but I just have to comment on this, because I mean, I was very well behaved for 6 months because the room didn't like it when I talked about the road closing by my house. So Hillsborough Road, which was closed for 15 months by the city of Valley Park and West Contracting, which has to be one of the worst contractors in the area, just based on the results that I've seen. They closed this road down for 15 months, right? 15 months. It's supposed to be done in November. This is so emblematic of what government does, right? The first weekend they open it, there's a hard rain, part of the road buckles. Not even making this up.
Yeah, that's bad.
We're 2.5 weeks now from the road opening, right? This morning, they repaved an entire section of about 50 yards of the road that they had already paved a few weeks ago. Now, why they did that, I think there was something, I saw something on a message board about a subcontractor screwing up. Let me just assure you that, and this is, you know, one of the reasons I talk about this is because this is happening everywhere. You know, look at California and some of the nonsense that happens out there. Like Ronald Reagan said, government is not the solution. It's the problem. Valley Park screwed this thing up from the beginning. The contractor clearly didn't know and still doesn't know what they're doing. And isn't it just perfect that 2 weeks after they have to repave an entire... Who's paying for that? Who is paying for that? Now, I did a Freedom of Information request, you might remember, with our friends at Valley Park. Heard back from them. I'm told that by this Friday, I will have all of the emails between West Contracting and Valley Park for the past 3 years. So we'll see where that takes us. I'll keep you posted. I know Sue and Fred are most interested. Oh, yeah. We are trying to get Josh Krausauer on the line, and we have some communication issues. But let me play some of the audio here that I wanted to get to anyway. I planned on doing some of that in the opening, and I did not get to that. The first one is, you know who did the briefing today? Because Carolyn is still out. I guess she's probably still going to be out until the end of July, wouldn't you think?
I would think.
Of the baby. So it was Dr. Oz who did the, they're you know, kind of working through the members of the cabinet. He did the briefing today, and he was asked about last week. Remember, they sat down, they were going to do this at Camp David, but they ended up doing it at the White House. They had a cabinet meeting. So Dr. Oz was asked, who performed the best at that?
I mean, they're all obviously different. I think Scott Bessent's dry humor is fabulous. Marco is just an earnestly funny person. We can tell all kinds of stories about Marco's entertaining commentary. I think J.D. was spectacular. You know, he's just very on his game, understands the issues, and he understands the American people, which is I appreciated his presentation so much. And I did watch them all, by the way, just to prepare. I'm a doctor. I try to do my homework. I prep for the case.
Very diplomatic from Dr. Oz this morning. Josh Krausauer, 97.1 FM Talk, political insider, editor-in-chief of the Jewish Insider, political analyst for Fox Radio. You hear him on Brian Kilmeade's show every week as well. Hello, Josh. How are you? Welcome back.
Hey, Mark. Good to be back with you.
Lots of things to talk about. Let me start with California and the jungle primary out there. Obviously, you've had Spencer Pratt making some noise against Karen Bass. Hard for me to believe in the end he's going to be the next mayor of Los Angeles. But he's kind of tapped into something. He kind of calls it common sense. So what would your expectations at this point be in California for both that race and the governor's race? Or are they a little too close to call at this point?
Well, in California, the likelihood of both races are going to be heading to runoffs if no candidate hits 50%.
Right.
So I think the big question is just how vulnerable Karen Bass is, polling well under 50% and polls, and she's splitting the vote with a line candidate. So, look, I think a lot of voters in Los Angeles are concerned about crime and homelessness and the recovery from the fires that happened over a year ago. But it also is a very Democratic city. So I think it's going to be a real challenge for Pratt to win the overall election, but he does have a fair chance to finish in the top two tonight.
So hang on, Josh. We're gonna call you right back. We do not have a good phone line right now. So I'm going to play a little audio here that relates to that, and then we'll see if we can get back on. If not, we'll have to rearrange something. First of all, the folks on The View, they addressed this. I was shocked. They actually think he's disgusting as well out in Maine, Graham Plattner.
Why can't we have better candidates? So he's a cheater. He's an anti-Semite because the fact that he had that tattoo for 20 years and didn't know what it was is a lie. So he's a liar, a racist, an anti-Semite.
Homophobe.
He's a homophobe. Yeah. So he's all the things, and character does matter.
Wow. That was shocking to me that The View took that view on Graham Plattner, which is accurate. And then you have, Chuck Schumer and some of the leadership, because he's on Capitol Hill today, basically saying that they're not backing down from their endorsement. Here's Chuckie Schumer.
You have not said if you're still endorsing Graham Plattner. Are you still supporting Graham Plattner?
As I said, I endorsed Graham Plattner. We're going to take back, we're going to beat Susan Collins and take back the Senate.
I want to hear Josh's opinion on that, but unfortunately we can't get him back on. There was something else that I was going to play when it came to Pratt, because he was on with Bill Maher over the weekend. This is probably something that's going to resurface in a couple hours for Cut of the Day. But I thought this was interesting. Now, Maher's really been calling out a lot of the liberal nonsense out there, right? But he tries to have, and I don't know, I will be honest, I didn't see the whole segment, so I'm not sure what the lead-in to this was when they start to talk about like solar panels and some of the environmental stuff that's going on in California. But listen to the end here, because this is like total mic drop moment.
I don't need to know about solar,
Okay,
I need to focus on making sure the moms are safe and the animals are not being abused. That's my party.
I know, if you're the mayor.
The solar panels, that's going to be somebody I'm hiring. That's my deputy mayor is going to worry about the solar panels.
No, Spencer, I got bad news. If you're the mayor, you are going to have to learn some of these issues more.
Solar panels. We're about 3 years from worrying about solar panels. We need to get all the naked drug addicts off of the sidewalks, and then I can worry about solar panels.
I thought that was such a great answer. Yeah. Bill was trying to say, okay, you really, no, how about not? That's not going to be what our priority is. We're going to talk about things that really matter to the community. This is where I think even, Mayor Spencer's kind of gotten off track here in St. Louis, unfortunately. Did we lose him for good?
It's just terrible. That's been happening
with Josh's line lately. I don't know why either. It happens with a couple of people.
Yes,
and I don't
know
if it's because where they are in their office or their home. I'm not completely sure on that, but that's unfortunate because I wanted to hear his take on some of these things. But I do like the fact, again, on the Spencer Pratt thing, that he doesn't, back down.
Agreed.
What I really would think it would be interesting here if I think it's going to happen. I think that, they're going to finish 1 and 2 and that he'll be in this runoff against Karen Bass. Now, what that means in the end, I don't know, because it's a Democrat city. Everybody always holds out hope. Oh, will there be a miracle? Will people kind of, change their minds? We talked about this yesterday with Brian Ping from KNX in Los Angeles. Is there this undercurrent, not unlike there was with Trump, where people don't want to admit that they're going to vote for, Spencer Pratt, but they will.
I think that could be.
I will say, and I think I even told Brian this yesterday, this is anecdotal, of course. This is not like a poll, but I will tell you that, I have a fair number of people who are friends in Los Angeles that work in the Hollywood community, whether they're writers, actors, or directors. And there's a few that are whacked out, crazy lefty. My friend Rod Lurie, who's a really good director and filmmaker, but he's just full on TDS right now, and I don't know what's happened to him. I'm very concerned. There's a couple other people like that too. But I'm not going to mention the names of the other people, but what I will tell you from conversations with the other people is that they will vote, or they have voted for Trump. They will vote for Spencer Pratt. They cannot amplify their political,
Yes, the fires were such a disaster. And it was handled so poorly. And these are people of means, as we know on this show. And how long are you going to put up with these people on the street, the drug addicts, the issues like that in your nice or what can be, neighborhoods and that are now decimated by fires. And then you try to rebuild, and they have such red tape that it's difficult to even do that.
Yeah, and I think people are sick and tired of that.
Yes.
The question is, you know, because he's going to be labeled, they're trying to tag him to Trump and all that stuff, and Republican, even though it's technically a nonpartisan thing, he keeps saying, look, I'm the common sense guy.
I just want people to feel safe. I want families to be able to thrive in the city. And it takes the whole city to actually change.
So
yes.
One of the reasons that, you know, this might be his benefit, but again, you know how Democrat voters usually choose, that he is an outsider.
That's how I win, because I say, hey, everybody, this isn't working. We all know it, and we're paying for the destruction of our own city, but they can't say it because they won't get reelected because they're deep in this failure. They would be better off to just say, hey, this didn't work. We're going to pivot. We tried this one, but we have a new plan, but they can't.
So I love, you know, Karen Bass. One of the things they hit Spencer Pratt with is that he's got no experience, right? They even say that he hasn't ever held a job, which maybe he hasn't. He was a reality TV star.
It's not just that he has no experience in city government. I don't know that he's ever held a job in his life other than to be a reality TV star.
Mrs. Bass, isn't a reality TV star a job? He made millions of dollars.
Thank you.
I don't know if that's a
job.
Oh,
that's interesting.
But well, here's what I would say. I go a different direction. Mayor Bass, you have a ton of political experience, and you can't do the job.
Correct.
So why would political experience mean anything after the disaster that you've brought to Los Angeles? You know, and Brian mentioned this yesterday, and this is one of those things that's an undercurrent in California that really did bring the entire state out, because they made this, and this is in the aftermath of Mike Brown. And it might have been in the aftermath of George Floyd, but it was around the same time where they passed this nonsensical thing that says, if you steal less than $950, that's a misdemeanor. We're going to give you clearance up until about $1,000. And then what did you have? Well, of course, you had gangs
yes.
of teenagers that were breaking, you know,
idiots.
Windows down, grabbing shoes and jewelry and you name it, because they knew
yes.
there weren't going to be any consequences. So the state of California, as a whole, even though they had voted for some of this nonsense, said, wait, we've gone way, way too far on this. We have to rein it back in. And 70%, Brian talked about this yesterday, 70% of California voters agreed with that. That's an enormous number.
It is.
Now, granted, you have people that live in the outstate area of California, and there's some conservative areas, but the urban areas, I mean, you got Los Angeles, San Francisco combined, two of the biggest cities on the planet, with a lot of people who are minorities who will never, ever vote Republican, even if they were forced to do it. But I hold out a little hope that maybe they can at least have something where it turns into a conversation with this campaign moving forward. Now, on the governor's race, I got no way to tell what that's going to be, because if Steve Hilton doesn't finish first or second, you can kiss California goodbye. If this Tom Steyer guy takes over, I mean, he'd be entertaining for talk show hosts, but good Lord. I think I admitted yesterday, I have not spent a lot of time here in the last week or so on these protests in New Jersey at Delaney Hall. Mark Wayne Mullen, who is the new HHS secretary, said this, Homeland Security, I'm sorry, said this about New Jersey.
What are you specifically doing to protect these ICE officers who are just trying to do their jobs?
Well, first of all, we have zero tolerance. The president and I have talked about this. If you verbally assault our officers, if you attack our vehicles, if you attack our property, you attack the person themselves, we will arrest you.
Okay, so on the topic of verbal assaults, this is from last Friday with a protester.
Come on, your children, your wife, come on. All dead.
Put your, my boy.
I have your face, mother. You're dead. Dead.
My understanding is he's been arrested, but he was making threats toward the officer and the officer's family as well. Chris Klemback with us, former Yuma Sector Border Patrol Chief. Chris, that's quite something what's going on in New Jersey right now, isn't it? My goodness.
Hey, good afternoon to you and everybody. Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I got to tell you, I mean, this protest fatigue is real. I mean, I'm just sick of it and sick and tired of it. And then to see this escalated like we've seen just on the clip you just aired regarding that protester threatening the agent and his family. Yes, he has been arrested. Yes, he's going to be charged with assault, because that would be considered assault. And I'm glad that Secretary Mullen has stood the line by saying, hey, you know what, we're not going to tolerate that. And I know that he's got the backing of the president because I've been in those type of meetings in the past. But this is just, you know, more of the same of the ridiculousness that's coming out of the left. And this has all been manufactured and created on purpose to just disrupt this president's agenda on immigration accountability, border security, and the rule of law. And, you know, it's enough's enough. Before I go back to you on this, I mean, I read something or heard something yesterday on one of the news outlets that out of the arrests that were made the other night, only three were from the Newark, Newark, New Jersey. The rest of them are from all over the country.
Outsiders, so the agitators.
Organized, right. Exactly, right? Exactly.
Well, so, you know, a couple things about that. That's true. And if that is true, then you shouldn't be reading that in a couple of outlets. You should be reading that in all the outlets, right? Because that's a significant part of the story. But instead, you have, I just looked up, Will Cain's show's on Fox right now, Chris. I look up, you had the governor of New Jersey up there, and they keep making these claims, the elected officials, that it's the ICE officers that are causing this. I mean, they're out there with masks, and they're trying to protect themselves, and you have people literally threatening their lives, as we heard, tangling with them violently. I mean, it's a mess out there. We're lucky that more people have not been hurt. I think I give the ICE officers, you know, a lot of credit for restraint, given the videos and the nature of the videos that I've seen so far, Chris.
Yeah, you know, the governor is certainly backpedaling to her base again, because she came out with the mayor. I think the mayor, I don't know the mayor's name, I don't recall her name, but she was very, you know, strong about, look, we are not going to tolerate this. The state police and the local police will arrest you if you're assaulting. We've created this, you know, First Amendment area. And the governor kind of did that. But then she's like, but we know what ICE is capable.
Right.
She immediately threw it back on ICE's problem. Look, you know what? What she should be saying is, we know what poor policies, we know what rhetoric, we know what organized chaos can do. It puts people in harm's way, and it lets the weak-minded, like the Renee Goods and Alex Pretties, get get into a place where they can't get out of. It's poor policies what she should be talking. ICE is upholding the law passed by Congress. So, you know, Mikey Sherrill, she sure did backpedal real quick when she realized that she was, you know, oh my gosh, how dare a governor actually support law enforcement? She sure did backpedal. But I'm glad the state police came out there and they brought all their, you know, I saw the state police horse patrol out there, you know, and some of the video footage. But you're right. Why are we only hearing that on one or two outlets about these organized mobsters? Because at the end of the day, it shows you this is the Democrat machine pushing this type of, protest. They're not even protests. They're riots. Let's call it what they are. Enough of this dancing around. These aren't protests.
No, they're riots.
This isn't somebody with a... Yeah. They're riots. That's what it is.
So let me ask you about... Because one of the things that these protesters and the rioters are trying to point out is that they have all these terrible conditions inside this Delaney Hall detention facility, which, by the way, is operated, I think, privately, right? So they're complaining about medical neglect, health and sanitation, all these things. And then when the truth actually comes out about what the menu is and what they do and how they're treated, it's completely opposite of that, right?
Yeah. So let me just get you and the audience how this works. First of all, you have federal buildings, you have federal detention centers, you also have the contracts that the government uses, right? Because we don't have enough government-owned facilities. So they contract with these type of groups. I don't know if it's who's running the contract, but there are minimum requirements, and the federal standard, in other words, the federal minimum requirement is over and above most state and local detention requirements. In fact, some state and local and county sheriffs can't even house federal detainees because they can't meet the minimum requirement.
Right.
So that standard is so high, and the cost per day, it's very beneficial for locals to take on government contracts or government detention because the standards are so high. And the other part that I want to point out is these are people that have either criminal records, they're illegal aliens with orders of removal, or they're just overall illegal aliens. And they're all given options for attorneys. And so the point I'm making is that they really are in these dilapidated conditions, that their foods, there are multiple avenues to address those complaints. And it starts with their attorney that's assigned to their case. So we're not hearing these things. We're only or seeing that play out. We're only hearing it from the usual suspects, the same group of, you know, Congress that's going to show up at every one of these facilities, the same NGOs and the same protesters. I mentioned on I was on News Nation yesterday, and I said, look, I don't want to see Secretary Mullen going tit for tat on every, you know, allegation. But, you know, put the transparency out there in the sense of this is who is in these facilities. This is the pedophile. This is the trafficker. This is the person that has three outstanding warrants. This is who we're detaining. And by the way, here's the menu of items. Here's how they get fed. And one last thing I'll say, Mark, is when I was spending $60,000 a day in my soft-sided facility when I was chief in Yuma to house people for 3 to 4 days, and they had wraparound medical services, 24-hour care, and 24-hour access to snacks and 2 hot meals a day. So that's the minimum standards at the federal level, and these are so. These people are living better than some of our veterans that are looking for a handout because their requirements are there. And again, these are people that are here illegally that are being charged with some kind of administrative or criminal offense. So, you know, I really don't have much to say other than the fact that this is just the same typical narrative that's getting exhausting because no one listens to the truth.
Yeah, look, I think that they've done they can do a better job, to your point, of pointing out some of the ridiculous claims by the protesters before letting some of this get out of hand and violent. And I think I've heard some of that the last couple of days. But I don't even know what is it that made them focus on that detention facility? Was it something in particular that happened, or do you know?
I don't know for fact, but remember, this is, I think, the same location, or at least the general location where the New Jersey congressman assaulted the ICE agent. So I think that has gotten attention. It's in Cory Booker's backyard. It's close by. You know, I think that's just one of those areas because it just I don't know of any other trigger points other than this was that congresswoman's district, and I think she was putting stuff out there. And again, you can follow multiple Democrats on social media, and they can be in California or New Jersey, and they're quoting the same quote.
Of course, talking points spread very quickly. Yeah, Chris Klemm, always great to have you on. Thank you so much for the info. We'll see what happens with New Jersey, but I appreciate it. Thank you.
You got it. All right. Brother. Talk to you soon.
Take care. As I was perusing my topics this morning and all the sources that I go to on Real Clear Politics, I saw a piece come up from Salon, which is not exactly a conservative publication. But the headline, Sue, kind of intrigued me a little bit. It said, "Do Americans really know how much the world hates us?" Okay. And this person talked about how they were putting one of their college age children on a plane to Berlin on a month long, you know, theater project or something like that. I mean, that's kind of fun for high school kids or college kids. I went to Spain when I was 18 years old, and it was, you know, one of the thrills of my life, and it really opened my eyes to a lot of things. But the point of this person, let's see who wrote this. I really don't care, but it's Andrew O'Haher, basically says that, you know, you have America has lost its luster with all the people from around the world. Then she points out that there are 20,000 Americans who applied for Irish citizenship in 2025, and that's kind of a all-time high. 9,000 applied for British citizenship, which I guess is more difficult and expensive. Italy has new restrictions to its previously generous citizenship laws, potentially slamming the door on millions of Americans with relatively distant Italian ancestry. Canada has done the opposite. So this person goes on and on and on. And here's my take. I don't care what the rest of the world thinks of us. Now, what I'll tell you about the rest of the real world, because they want to talk about the governments of the world, I think. The real people that live in Europe, and I can base this on some conversations I've had in the past few years. I was in Spain and I was in Greece. Okay, anecdotal, but still. They all want to be us. If you think that you're going to go to a foreign country because you've had some sort of rights taken away from you in this country, when you, no matter whether you're gay or straight or cis or, you know, trans, you have more rights than you'll ever have anywhere. I emphasize this with my daughter all the time. They didn't have the freaking internet in Iran, right? They cut the internet. So the people, why do you think our culture and our music rises to the top of the planet? because they want to be like us. They envy our freedoms. The ironic thing is my conversations with mainly Western Europeans, they're more proud of America than some Americans that have hated this country. And it's utterly ridiculous. So piggybacking on that, in a cute way, let's talk to some kids. I heard them do this on Fox today.
Oh, cute.
And we have a kids montage, if you will, Sue, of why they love America.
Oh.
And I can, and I think we will in the coming weeks leading up to July 4th, express many, many different ways. And I think, you know, one of the things that some of us, and let's face it, if we're older, we say this, that the younger generation simply does not have the appreciation for the freedoms that exist in this country. And some of these freedoms, you know, people might not like gambling, which has now become legal in Missouri, or pornography, or things along those lines that adults, not children, should have access to. But we enjoy the freedom to actually post things on social media in theory and not have a police officer knock on our door. In Germany, I ain't talking East Germany from 50 years ago. I'm talking in Germany right now. They are proud of the fact that they have Gestapo-like tactics going after people for their opinions on social media. Sharon Alfonsi, one of the ones that got fired from CBS last week, did this whole piece on that, actually never once raising a question about how that's horrifying, right? It's happening in Britain, too. So for those of you morons out there, and I know I'm not talking to my audience, but if people want to move to other countries, go for it. Get the hell out. Take some of the illegals with you, if you wouldn't mind, because you're never, ever going to have an experience like the American experiment. You just won't, because we're unique in that fashion. We're not perfect, but we keep evolving. You know, it was crazy, Sue, when I was in, you've been overseas, you're in Greece, Europe, you think about thousands of years, right?
We got
several hundred years, 250 just as a nation, but you know, not that much beyond that when it comes to the way that the country formed, right? And even 250 years ago, we're in a state right now that was run by France and then by Spain for a while and then finally became part of the United States. But here's the cute factor. You ready for the cute factor? These are kids.
Yes.
I heard this on Fox. What do they like about American freedom?
Hi, my name is Luke. I am 6.5 years old. I love America because when I grow up, I can be whatever I want to be.
Hi, I'm Ella. I'm 4 years old. And I love America, and it's beautiful.
I love America because we have all freedom.
America is the best! USA!
I love America because we have freedom that allows me to chase my dreams.
I love America because it makes us all free.
I love America because we have the greatest military and we are free.
Oh, wow.
Hi, my name is Claire. I'm 4 years old. I like America because there's parks and libraries.
I love that girls can be whatever they want to be.
What do you want to be?
A quantum physicist.
Wow. Whoa.
I like America because I like the American flags.
I love America because we live in the land of the free.
Why do you love America?
I love my church because I get to learn about God.
Do you love America?
Yeah.
Why do you love America?
I don't love that.
So, you know, kids are easily manipulated. I don't know if they have the appreciation for the freedom
right.
that they have. But, you know, I always talk sometimes about my Uber drivers because there's two that really stick out. One was from last summer when I was sick and I couldn't drive. And I took an Uber on the way back from getting a haircut. And it was when I was going through the anxiety. And this dude had an American hat on. And I can't remember exactly where he was from. It was somewhere in Africa, but I don't want to say the wrong country. Anyway, he could not have been more thrilled with America. He was so proud to be an American. He loved the freedoms. He knows what it was like,
yeah,
what his family members are experiencing, right? And then I refer to this. I had this saucy little Cuban Uber driver in Las Vegas about 7 or 8 years ago, and she was amazing. And she was so pissed off about how people in this country did not appreciate the freedoms. Now, this has changed, but I've used this talking point for a while because for the longest time, and this has only changed, I think, in the last 5 years, if you were not amongst the elite in the ruling class in Cuba, you could not eat a hamburger. You could not have a steak. You could
Jeez.
Have a cow for milking purposes. But think about little things like that. We have no idea how, you know, how free we are because we don't have the ability to compare and contrast and see what happens in other countries. But those kids knew more than most adults, I'd say, at this point.
Get more at 971talk.com.